April is National Child Abuse Awareness Month, and for today's In Touch, we're joined by Pac-Man with the Central Iowa chapter of Bikers Against Child Abuse to discuss what their mission is, what they do to help abused children, and the results of a study that looked into the effectiveness of what they do. What role do you play with this organization?
First off, I'm a primary, which means that I am one of the primary contacts for one of our kids for the organization. What we do when we bring these kids into organizations, we set them up with two people who they contact, who they have 24-hour access to. That way, in case they have any issues, want to talk anything that's on their mind, if they wake up, you know, from a night terror or whatever, they can get on the phone and contact somebody. That way, we have a fairly large number of individuals in the chapter. That just gives them a contact person within the chapter. And also, I'm the PR director for our chapter here in Iowa.
You talked about it a bit there, but what do you guys set out to do?
Our primary focus is to help kids not be afraid of the world in which they live. We do that by empowering them. I mean, if you took the work that we do and you put it into one word, the one word would be empower. And when we say empower, we empower these kids to get back to the comfortable of being a kid. So 9 times out of 10, when they go through abuse, whether it's physical, sexual, or emotional, they tend to shut down and kind of retreat into themselves and kind of shut the world off around them. And what we want to do is help them regain that power of being a kid and actually help them, encourage them to embrace the world around them, not be afraid of their family or friends or stuff like that. You know, sometimes kids don't like to go outside. Whatever it is that helps that kid become comfortable again in his own skin is what we do.
How do you go about doing that? It looks like you have a hotline.
Yeah, we have a hotline. What we do, one of the main things that I want to point out is that we don't contact families on our own. We work in conjunction with the Department of Human Services, juvenile courts, things of that nature, people who actually have cases on their hands, and then they take our pamphlets and our contact information, and they, in turn, hand it out to their clientele. And we have to go that way. For one, we don't want to get involved in anything that's not appropriate for our mission statement. Two, it helps protect the kids even further. You know, they're already in the system. We're not soliciting so-called abuse cases or something like that. And also, it makes the family take ownership into the organization. Because once that kid is brought into our organization, we are going to show up when that kid calls. That kid has 24-hour access to us. And so it's kind of a give and take thing. You know, we're there for them. We're not here to babysit. We're not a organization that where they take them and drop them off to us. In that case, you know, we go to their environment. We don't take them out of their environment. We go to their homes and we work with them in their environment so that they have some control over the situation.
In that press release you sent out, you used words like plague and pandemic. Is abuse, child abuse in particular, more pervasive than someone might think?
Child abuse is something that it's not prejudiced. It happens in all communities. It doesn't have a certain demographic, you know, regardless of your race, color, creed, financial background, sexual orientation, religion, whatever it may be. Child abuse occurs in those environments. And it's something that's not really out in the forefront. You know, it's not something that people feel comfortable talking about. But when it's not something people feel comfortable talking about, it's something that's kind of kept on the hush-hush. And with April being Child Abuse Awareness Month, we're just out, not promoting child abuse, but just getting the word out that child abuse is something that is prevalent in all communities. And it's something that we shouldn't brush under the rug. It's something that we should be comfortable talking about. And it's something that we should be working to prevent. What they learn growing up is, you know, they may be introduced to the sexual world in an inappropriate way. And so when they grow older, they in turn partake in the inappropriate sexual relationship. What we work on doing is trying to break that cycle and help these kids understand that they can trust adults. They do have people that support them. They don't have to be afraid of the world in which they live, you know, things of that nature.
A study was conducted looking at the effectiveness of what you guys do. What should people take away from that study?
What the study shows, what it actually did is it took a large group of kids that have been in the BACA world nationwide. And what they did is they did they sent out a survey before, during, and after our involvement. And what it's shown is that throughout every category in which they measured, we made a statistical significant change in that child's life, meaning we fell within the margin of error in saying that we helped improve those children's lives. A lot of studies, they kind of can take the data and do what they want to present how they want. Well, what this is, what it shows is that not only are we talking the talk, but we're walking the walk. We're out there and we're making a difference, and our presence is helping these kids get comfortable and being back to being a kid, regardless of whatever the issue is. It's helping them understand and kind of work through. Something that we don't do within the organization is we never ask what to happen. That's none of our business. We work with them and just kind of being a support system, so to speak. If they wake up with night terrors, they can call and talk to somebody, not necessarily about the issue, but just have that comfort of knowing that there's somebody there that they can confide in, that they can talk to about whatever, and give them a little, we're like their little security blanket, so to speak. We're free. We don't charge these families for any of the stuff that we do, whether it's their birthday, summer picnic, Christmas party, whatever. We do a lot for these kids. We provide these kids with kid stuff, kid environment. Kids like birthday parties. Kids like picnics. Kids like Christmas. We bring that world to them, whether they can afford it or not. Sometimes these kids are come from families that don't have the ability to be able to give them things that kids are used to, and we bring them into our organization, and we try to help give them that. And another thing is that we don't just take anybody within the organization. We put everybody through a local, state, and federal background check, and that way we make sure that these people that we bring to these kids aren't using those as a means to harm these kids. If they have anything in their background that shows that they've domestic violence or anything of that nature, they may have to turn the page and aren't that person anymore, but unfortunately, because of that, they can't join.
That was part one of my conversation with Pac-Man, one of the individuals involved with the Central Iowa chapter of Bikers Against Child Abuse, a nonprofit that sets out to help abused children. Tune in to tomorrow's In Touch with Southeast Iowa for the rest of our conversation. Meanwhile, you can learn more about the organization by visiting iowa.bacaworld.org. For KCII News, I'm Nathan Swenson.